This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW, because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour, the boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
We have one more hour to go, including a conversation. This is going to be a tough one about the Cardinals with Tom Ackerman from the KMOX side of the building and the Cardinals Radio Network. He'll join me at the bottom of the hour. We have audio cut of the day as well. And then we're off and running here for the week. It's a little awkward just because Sue is not here. She's on a little bit of a break this week. Fred is still in Japan. He will be back on Thursday. Ethan is holding down the fort here with Matthew, and they're kind of helping me through the day because it gets a little lonely here in the studio. Jay Peter Zane is back with us this afternoon. He is an editor at Real Clear Investigations. He writes for Real Clear Politics, one of my favorite thinking pundits out there. Peter, welcome back to the show. How are you on this Monday?
I'm doing great. I wish I were in Japan. That sounds like a fun trip.
Fred was very nervous about it. Marie, his wife, is kind of the driving force, and Fred's a little bit nervous about kind of getting out of his comfort zone, but we've gotten some pictures, and it looks fantastic. You know, that was never a part of the world that I was fascinated with at all. I mean, if you would have asked me 10, 15 years ago, do you ever want to go to Asia, I probably would have said no, but it's become increasingly intriguing to me, so I can't wait to hear the details. Have you been?
I've been to Vietnam and Vietnam.
I've heard it's very nice,
which was
there
fantastic,
as well.
And I highly recommend it.
Absolutely,
great food, beautiful people.
I've heard great
things.
And
I got a suit there made for me in 2 days.
Really, like a custom suit?
Yeah, yeah. They do quick turnaround tailoring. So if you go there, get clothes, get shirts.
Here's what I'd say: Do people still in my world? Do people still wear suits, Peter? I guess you know important people like you do.
You know what? I got it, sadly, because I'm getting older for funerals. I needed a dark suit.
You know, I was on television for many, many years, going back to my days in Milwaukee, and I did this show on a Sunday morning, and I always had to wear a suit, and I had all kinds of suits. And this was back, like, when, if you go back to the early 2000s, remember, we were all wearing baggy suits, like really baggy suits, and then someone decided to show men how to dress.
Right.
I don't know who it was.
Well, I didn't get that memo, because if you could see me right now, it's a good thing I'm on the radio.
Well, let's talk politics here. You know, I've seen a lot. You wrote a column last week called The Democrats' Path Out of the Wilderness. We don't want to help them too much here, but there's some common themes that you've written about and some other folks out there when it comes to, you know, what's happening on the other side. And I'm continuously baffled by their position on these 80-20 issues, the 90-10 issues, which don't seem to be helping them in any way, shape, or form. But your thoughts here moving forward?
Well, I mean, two things. One is, I think that there are a couple problems that they have. One is that they're true believers. The 10% of the people who control the party are, in fact, left-wing activists, and they are ideologues. And so they believe in open borders. They believe in DEI. They believe in, using, I don't know actually what they believe about Russia, because I think that's a thing of convenience, but globalism, supporting NATO. So these are positions that are intrinsic to them. So it's going to be very hard to give it up. It's particularly hard for the Democrats because they have always been a top-down party. If you go even before the Civil War, you know, they were basically the Southern planters. Then they were the machine politicians. Then they've become the progressives, FDR, the experts. But they've always been a small group of people empowered by money and or knowledge who knew what was best for everybody else. And it's very hard then with that tradition to change, to have somebody come in and really shake things up like you saw with Trump and the Republican Party. And that's really what they need, is they need a Trump. They need somebody to come in and change the paradigm. And I don't know if that's possible.
I don't know if it's possible either, just because, let me ask this question. The favorability among voters is at the bottom of the barrel right now. So in a poll from CNN recently, the favorability toward the Democratic Party was locked in about 29%. That was down 10 points before the election. But some of that has to come from two different places. So in other words, people that just can't stand what the Democrats are doing right now, and they don't understand, you know, their positions on a variety of issues like the 90-10 issues. But there's also dissatisfaction that pops up in that number, Peter, with progressives who don't think that their party is crazy enough. My words. Isn't that part of the equation as well?
Perfect. You nailed it. Republicans, conservatives should not put too much stock in those things. Because a lot of the low numbers are the super radical people who are not happy with the way things are going and want the party to basically self-immolate. You know, they want them to take, because, I mean, one of the things you think about is, what would a resistance stand for? Should they say that we need open borders? Should they say that we should have racist policies in corporations? I mean, what you basically have had is the Democratic Party, and they believe in these things, and they think that they're enlightened policies or whatever, but they have continually pushed a series of deeply unpopular policies with 70% of the people. And the way they've done it is, and this has led to the polarization, is by demonizing the other side. So they have very effectively, we used to say that politics is sort of like sports and who your team is. It's Israel and the Palestinians. I mean, it's that level of fear and hatred. And there's very hard to see on the extremes, and those are the people who tend to push things a little bit, any reconciliation. And so what the left has done, in my opinion, is the liberals said, we can't stand up to these awful racist Republicans. We're too soft. So they empowered the left, which is willing to fight with brass knuckles, and the left has now pushed all of these policies and created an environment where, as bad as we are, you cannot vote for the other side. They are beyond the pale. So I don't know how you, in the long run, are going to, or, you know, in the short to medium run, change the dynamic of that party, because even the liberals, and, you know, they could shed a few, but are still convinced that Trump is the devil.
Right. But you also have, like, I don't know if you saw Don Lemon on Bill Maher's podcast last week talking about how AOC is somehow the standard bearer. So who are the people, you know, this question gets asked, who's running the Democrat Party? Is it Gavin Newsom? He's certainly trying to take control. I pointed out on Friday, and I heard an interview on Friday with Rahm Emanuel, the former mayor of Chicago, obviously a key person in the Obama administration. I think Rahm Emanuel's a guy that's trying to change the narrative right now. And he may be a guy that can potentially do that. I mean, he was a terrible mayor, but they're going to have to bring people back to the center. But how in the world can some people think that AOC and Bernie Sanders should be the standard?
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover, all for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
Survivor 48 is here. And after every episode, dig deep into the show with On Fire, the official Survivor podcast. Listen to On Fire, the official Survivor podcast with me, Jeff Probst, every Wednesday after the show, wherever you get your podcasts.
Bear moving forward.
Because those are the voices of the 10% that run the party. And this is what they think and believe. They believe this stuff. They are committed to it. It's like the universities. I mean, those professors, many of them, especially in the humanities, are true believers in all of this nonsense. And Max Planck said had a great quote, which got paraphrased, and that is, science proceeds one funeral at a time. So these people are so committed to these ideas that they're never going to change, and you have to wait for them to expire or somehow be dislodged. And I don't know, especially given how much the Democratic Party relies on money from a small group of super wealthy people, that you could really challenge the system in some ways. Because it's not just Romney, it's not these political people, it's, you know, big money, George Soros, all those people. And one other element, which I haven't quite figured out in my thinking yet, but did you see that NBC poll about how different groups of Americans feel about Trump and Vance?
I have not seen that one, no.
Okay, so basically it echoed a story that Joel Kotkin wrote for Real Clear Investigations 2 years ago. And in that he found that the largest group that supports the Democrats is single women. And Democrats win that by 40 points. And this poll showed that college-educated white women are 90% of them hate Trump, hate Vance, whatever. Same was true, actually, for men, white men without college degrees. But one of the other things to really pay attention to is that the Democratic Party is increasingly becoming the party of unattached women. Not just that, but a lot of that. And that affects who they are, how they think, how they process information, is a huge part of why AOC, because women are very appealing to a party that is deeply dependent
right.
on women.
Well, that makes more sense that way. How does, you know, because one of the things we've been talking about quite a bit last week and this week, it's getting a lot of attention. We had a protest here in Chesterfield where there's a Tesla dealership. How does that play into all of this? Because it's the most ridiculous thing. It's logically flawed. It doesn't make any sense to protest a guy you think is a Nazi because he made a car that someone else is driving and they didn't make that decision based on the philosophy of the owner. But they're going nuts on this stuff right now, Peter.
Yeah, well, it's the peaceful protest. And so what you say, you know, I remember in like 2014 and there was this eruption of these demonstrations on campus and Charles Murray spoke somewhere, a conservative thinker, and other people, and they got attacked and there was all this concern about campuses being unsafe. And then it kind of went away for a couple of years. And then it came back with a vengeance in the Black Lives Matter movement. And now we're seeing it again, not quite at that level, but, you know, street violence is an important element of Democratic strategy when they're out of power. I'm not saying that the party is directing these people. And what happens is the media and their enablers create an environment where it's okay. Oh, this is a backlash.
Yeah, right.
We did it. It's always the other side did something, and the left is responding, when it's actually the exact opposite of that. You remember during COVID? It's like nobody was wearing a mask. Then we were told, you have to wear a mask. And then when you said, I got a problem wearing a mask, oh, you're creating problems. No,
yeah, that was
the problem. You made me do something I wasn't doing.
Right. No, I completely agree with that. And I would, because I'm fascinated, you're a political guy, I'm fascinated by how this is somehow going to come together for the Democrats. I mean, what do you make of Gavin Newsom's podcast right now?
I think it's a good opportunity to test the waters, to try. In other words, he knows that the way he had been selling himself is not going to win. And he and his problem is that he's actually not just espoused things, he's implemented things. So his task is particularly difficult because he's running a state that is going down the drain, you know? And so he's got to rehabilitate himself to the point where he can deny his record to some extent, to sort of pull off the Kamala Harris thing, you know? All the while, probably, you know, he's going to implement those things again. But what do you think?
Well, yeah, that's what he's trying to redefine himself. He's slick. You know, I think that Gavin Newsom is certainly very, very polished, and he's got nice hair and he looks pretty. So he can say things and he can convince people in ways that maybe other politicians can't, because he's a pretty boy and he's got a sharp tongue. But I do think it's interesting. You know, there's a couple of folks that I follow that have been writing things along the same lines as you, Peter. One is Rye Teixeira over at the Liberal Patriot. And one of the things that he highlighted was some of the things that are happening in these Democratic states, including Illinois. These are states that are losing something, thousands and thousands of people to Florida and to Texas. Both of those states gain 2 million residents. So some of the stuff that's happening in politics is definitely affecting the geography as well.
And it's what's interesting, too, though, is that they're losing people who probably are not dyed-in-the-wool progressives. Because I live in North Carolina, and we have had a huge influx of people from the Northeast, including myself, although I've been here a while. But it, in fact, has not turned the state purple. It's as red as it has ever been. And so you look at Florida, you look at all these places. So what may happen is these states they're fleeing may become even deeper blue and even more one party and more corrupt, because any kind of resistance is like, I'd rather switch than fight.
I think that's a great
point.
I mean,
I don't know that demographically. But
I think that that's a pretty good hunch if that's what it is. That can certainly happen. Peter Zane, always great to have you on. I appreciate you joining me on a Monday afternoon. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
All right, take care. You know, I mentioned Rye Teixeira because he wrote something that was interesting in the Liberal Patriot along the lines of, you know, we just talked about the geography there, though, but just the way that the party registration is happening. This happened in Pennsylvania. One of the things that Rye said is identification with the Democrat Party. Nothing looms as large in driving political behavior than party identification, which party voters identify with or lean toward. Lately, this is what he wrote today in the Liberal Patriot, something astonishing has happened. Republicans have led in party identification for three straight years. That has not happened in nearly a century. And the trend doesn't show any sign of abating in the aftermath of what happened in the election. And the GOP continues to outregister Democrats in states like Pennsylvania, Nevada, North Carolina. Over time, these are pretty important numbers here. Just four states, California, Colorado, Delaware, and New York. Delaware is still a state in other news. Have seen Democrats outregistering Republicans compared to 22 states where Republicans have been gaining. Then he gets into the the geography and how many people have left California and Illinois. You also go into the educated versus uneducated. It turns out that being widely disliked in huge parts of the country matters a lot, he writes. These four factors indicate a party that is truly in a deep hole. The party's severe image, identification, governance, and geographic weaknesses cannot be remedied by mounting the rhetorical barricades against Trump and waiting for his administration to self-destruct. So the bottom line is, it's really good news if you're rooting on the Republicans, because they don't have a path to gain these voters back. And then you hear some of this in the polling, for example, on CNN.
63%, according to the latest Fox News poll, say that they favor deporting those immigrants. So that's a pretty high number.
And you hear Dana Bash and others on CNN, they're apoplectic about that. They cannot believe that people support some of the horrific things like taking the country back that Donald J. Trump represents. We're going to take a break. We're coming back. We'll talk a little baseball, as painful as that might be. It's not going to be as painful as maybe when the games start. We're going to hope for the best with the Cardinals. Tommy Ackerman, I guess he's still my colleague over on the KMOX side. The Cardinals Radio Network is going to join us with a preview. We'll talk some Blues hockey as well.